Director of Ministry Expansion of our Church Christ Community. As you look around, you'll notice behind me in this seat of power, Chairman Bill, this is the gentleman who helped China come to the place where it's at today. And as you see all around me, we have folks who are here observing not only what China is all about for them, but as well saying to themselves, this is a beautiful place to be able to reminisce about what they have in their culture. As I move, you'll notice behind me is a cultural museum, and here on the edge of the square, the cultural museum is a way for them to commemorate all the memories and all the many ways that this great nation has been brought together. You'll notice as well as we continue to turn, there's a monolith behind me that celebrates all the victories of all the wars and all the different people that have served this nation. And then as well, on to my left, we'll see in just a moment, you'll see the People's Congress that meets each year. Here, in comparison to our nation, it's a place where those representatives meet to serve their president, who will be enacted in office just about the time that we're watching this video today here in September. Today, as you read in Job, you're reading to the very end of Job and reading from chapter 38 through chapter 42. And as you did, you noticed that something changed than what you read before. God began to question Job about himself and about what he knew, rather than Job being questioned or Job questioning others that were around him. Over 70 questions are asked by God himself. Job, what do you know? What do you know about animals? What do you know about snow? What do you know about the seas and the lands and everything else that God oversees? Job, what do you know? And when God had finished that questioning from chapters 38 and 39, he then says to Job, what do you know? And Job says this. Job says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Chapter 40, verses 5 and 6. As you look in chapter 42, you see this answer, and you say to yourself, this is really a great reflection on our great God. Almighty God. And if he were to question me, I'd have to say the same thing as Job. In one translation, literally, put my hand over my mouth and not be able to speak. To despise myself in the midst of a God so great and a God so mighty, I look at myself and say, I have nothing. Nothing I can compare to this great God. The book concludes with more questions, totaling out well over 70 questions in chapter 41. Then you get to chapter 42, and you'll notice that God restores to Job what he has not had in these last few either months or years of all that he's gone through. God restored back to him the sheep, the abundance of animals, all the livestock, everything else that he had lost, God restored, except for one item. God did not restore back his seven children. Did you notice that? And you got to say to yourself, how come? I think there's a reason. I believe the reason is because Job's kids were in eternity. Why replace or replenish them in the respect of giving them double the amount like he did everything else when he's going to see them again? Job was a doubly blessed man. I don't mean it by prosperity of riches or of livestock and animals. What I mean is Job was a blessed man. One, he heard God with his ears and God spoke to him. Second, Job was a blessed man because God restored to him. Some of you would say, but he's not blessed, because in no way did God commit and tell him what he had done and why he had done it. And that's exactly right. The Creator God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing by way of explanation. He says to us, trust me. Trust me and see that I will help you to live this life. Back in Proverbs, Solomon said to us very simply, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What's our response? What's our response to not only the items that Job has gone through, but what's our response to what is going on as we read in Job and throughout our lives? I believe what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 is our response. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Where are you today? Are you at a place where you don't understand God? Are you at a place where you're saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life? As I said just a few moments ago, trust Him. It's worth it to trust Him. Second, stand back in awe of the plan He has for your life. As Isaiah asked, as Job stated, we're in the midst of a Creator God. Like one commentator said, as we read Job 38-42, it's almost like holy ground kind of passages. Take off your shoes. Revel in hearing God like Job has done. Revel in what He's doing in your life. From Tiananmen Square, I greet you. I say to you, as I said yesterday, come to China. Come to China and see this great land. See this place where they call this power. And it is beautiful. As I look around, I say, wow, amazing. But you know what? This pales in comparison to the Almighty God. The God of the universe, the Creator God, who was powerful enough to save you and me. Rescue us from darkness and take us into the light of His dear Son. Now that's power. Have a great day. Keep reading. Take care.